Okay, Perek Dalet, Pasik Chof Dalet. Hosa Mimcha Akshus Pe Ulzus Vasayim Harchek Nimeka. Pasik advises a person should remove from himself the crookedness of the pet. This is an expression which means the murmuring. When a person speaks and murmurs and speaks Lashon Hara about someone else, his lips, they move about in all different shapes and forms. Lezusifasayim is also the same according to the mitzvah. See, this means the same exact idea. It means netia ve'akima. It means the turning and the crookedness of the lips. Harchek mimcha, distance from you. Let's see the mitzvah David. Chaser mimcha ratzalaymar al tas dover. So the mitzvah says something very important. He says that the pasuk of means. It means don't do things which cause other people to speak badly about you. Pasuk is not, you know, when you see the Medrash is going to interpret the Pasuk in reference to you should not speak Lashon Hara. There are two major different interpretations of this Pasuk. Again, either according to the Medrash, which we'll read in a moment, which is really the more simpler interpretation of the Pasuk, you should not speak Lashon Hara. You should not take your lips and twist them and turn them and speak evil about other people. But that's not the simple interpretation. The simple interpretation is you should not do things. Don't be seen in the street doing things. Your behavior should not be such that other people will say evil things about you. Ratzaloymar, al tase davar, do not do a thing, sheyehe bo mokom, which will give an opening for people, libnei adam lirane acharecha, to murmur acharecha, the yirmois harinun, and the pasuk here hints to the rinun, the slander, with the expression biakima sape, the turning of the mouth. I guess this means the different motions that the mouth makes when it speaks. When itias sifosayim, the movement of the lips. Kederech hamerananim biremis. When people they speak, they hint. So they move their lips in a way which is a form of communication, a code communication with their comrades. Yes.
Yeah. People don't want the person to hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
They might out of the side of their...
Okay. Okay. Something along those lines. So you don't want it to get back to them. Because you don't want the subject of your Lashon Hara to find out that behind his back you have stabbed him, you have slandered about him.
It says,
yeah.
It means what you know.
Knows, right?
And what expression is on your face when you say he's a big tzaddik.
Exactly. Okay. So that's the actual speh means even if you're going to speak nice things, if you twist your mouth, it ends up you really saying nasty things about someone else. So, but again, the subject according to the Mitzvah says don't behave in a manner that's unbefitting, because that will open up. That will allow people to slander, to say things about you, which you don't want. You want Rashi. Look at Rashi. Rashi says exactly the same interpretation. Leisa said davar, don't do something. Sheyal izu bo habrios, the people will slander. They will murmur. The akimu alecha piyam, and they will twist their mouths against you. Akshus peloshon ikum. The word akshus means crookedness. Kamo tom ani vayaksheni. I am a tom, and you have made me crooked. Through what all of the yisum that I have suffered, I've become a bitter person. I've become a crooked person. Eve said that about himself. A mishnah shni akmimus akumois v'akushois. In the mishnah, he said the same expression, which refers to different crooked. And backwards, motions. People should not widen their mouth about you and say nasty things. Okay, now again, as I told you, that this is what it says over here. This is what it says over here in the Shul Mikra. The Medrash is much more explicit. The Medrash says it means you yourself, it's addressing the person. You should not speak lashon hara. Zeh, I'll read you the words. It's Medrash Mishle Perek Dalet Pasuk Chav Dalet on this pasuk in the Medrash. Zeh lashon hara shehu kasha keshvichas damim. It's equal to shvichas damim. Ulezus v'saim hachim emchash shelo tehei medabim chavercha echad bepev yecha b'leiv. It's another thing. Don't speak crooked tongues. Don't speak to your friend nicely when really in your heart you're plotting against him. You say one thing and you mean just the opposite. More often than not, when a person, if you listen very carefully, when a person says to you, you right away know it's just the opposite. Okay, we've all had this experience. When someone says something to you, when you go home thinking, you walk away, why in the world did he say that to me? What did he mean to say? And the more you think about it, the more you realize he means really the opposite. Or he's trying to cover up. He's trying to cover up. He knows he did you in, and he feels maybe guilty, and he just wants to cover up. So by covering up, he says something that is the opposite. That's what it means over here. We call of the Lazusifosayim is echad bepeh v'echad b'leiv. Again, the ikshus peh is lashon hara. That's behind your back. He says to other people things which are not proper, and that is equal to shichas damim. Okay, I'm not exactly sure if the medrash wants to say the word ikshus has some ikshus peh has some connection to shichas damim. I don't know. Doesn't comment, but okay. That's again.
To me, to be false facts.
What? It's shakal. When a person speaks lashon hara, that can cause indirectly a person to die, or can cause a person to be embarrassed. And embarrassment causes the person to pale, and that's a form, that's a bizrayu of teshvichas damim. When a person suddenly loses his face color. When he turns white, the blood has been displaced. So that is a form of shvichas dam. Okay, so we have over here, so best to review, we have over here two mahalchim in the pasuk, Rashi and the Mitzudas. According to Mitzudas, it means, according to Mitzudas and Rashi, it means do not behave in a manner that's unbefitting, which will cause people to murmur. And according to the opinion of the Medrash, it's addressing the person himself and warning him, you should not speak about others, lashon hara, and you should not speak to your friend achas bepevi achas belev. Now let me give you some examples from the Gemara. There are some interesting examples about this. The Gemara talks about a story. Hanitan me eishes or minachriyah. Let me give me 1 second to find the exact chazal. The words are Here it is. Okay, this is Gemara Yevamos. Okay, coming up not that far from now. Only in a couple of weeks, learning Sechta Yevamos Daf Yomi. Hanitan al akusis v'niskaira. Nitan means a person is suspect. There are murmurings, there are rumors that a man is having a relationship, an improper relationship with a non-Jewish woman. And then this woman, at some point in time, converts. She becomes a giyores. The halach is the person should not marry her. Hareze lo yichnes. The Gemara Yevamos says he should not marry her. V'imkanas. Let's say he does not listen to the advice of Chazal and he does marry her. Ein moitzin miyado. He has no obligation to divorce her. He can remain married to her. And why? Why should he not marry her? It's not substantiated. When this woman was not Jewish, obviously it's not proper for a Jewish man to have a relationship with a woman who is not Jewish. And people are murmuring. People are talking in the street that they are doing things that are not proper. So, but it's not been substantiated. There is no proof whatsoever. So he's innocent. So in this world, you're innocent until proven guilty. But yet there are rumors now. When she is Megayer and she's a full-fledged Jewess, he should not marry her. Because if he does marry her, that will give people, they'll say that it was true. if he's now marrying her, must be that when she was not yet Jewish, indeed he did an avera with this woman. He will only add, he only fanned the flames of his bad reputation. They will suspect that at one point in time in the past he was nichshol in arayos. This what?
No smoke without fire.
If there's smoke, there's fire. When there's smoke, there's fire. So here the medicine and the Gemara in Yevamos applies this specific pasuk to this incident. Haser mimcha ikshus peh ulazusif asaim harchek mimeka. Even though now there's nothing wrong. You look at each point in time, the person is innocent. At this moment in time, the woman has converted. So it's 100% mutter for him to marry her now. At the time, a year ago, when people were talking in the street that this man and this woman, they are involved in an avera, no one can prove it. There's no smoking gun. There may be smoke, but there's no smoking gun. So he's innocent. He walked away innocent. He's still getting shlishi in the Beis HaKnesses. No one is taking away his kibudim. He's still a very well-honored, respectful person. But when you put the two together, so you can say, listen, I was innocent a month ago. They tried to find evidence. I came out clear. Right now, she converted. So there's nothing wrong with me marrying her. Yet the Gemara says, he put the two together. If he's going to marry her now, people will look back and they'll say, oh, it must have then been true that a year ago, this man was nichshol with this non-Jewish woman. Yeah? Does it cast down her? So let's assume, it's a very, very good point, and it's a very common shaila today, almost good percentage of people who get Megayer, they right away question what's their ulterior motive. Okay, let's put that aside. Let's assume that the Beis Din was Yerusev Daitoy, and it's a sincere ger. Just because a person wants to marry does not prevent them from becoming a ger. If you know for a fact the only reason why a person is being a ger is because he wants to marry a certain person, which is very common, that does not automatically disqualify them. If
with a Jew, because she loves Jews and she loves
Yadus, exactly the point. So it's a lot more complicated than just, it's not black and white. Therefore, let's put all of those issues aside. Let's say the Beis Din is the Beis Din has given the green light because they have determined that she is sincere in her gerus, even though it might very well be that she wants to marry a Jew. And now this man comes into the picture and wants to marry her. So this is the example the Gemara gives to bring out the point of this pasuk of how far a person has to go. A person has to go and care for his past reputation, not just now, because right now it's a very big chiddush the Gemara is saying. Right now, he's in the green. Right now, everything is a-okay. She has converted. Beis Din gave her the full-fledged gerus. But when he's going to do something now, people are going to start thinking what happened 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and they're going to say, ah, it must have been true. It must have been true that these two people indeed did the avera. You have to distance yourself that far. Okay, that's one example. Another example the Gemara gives is we have a special halacha gzeres hakasta that eid echa neman when it comes to an eishes ish. If a person, it's a very complicated halacha where a married woman, one witness comes and tells this one woman that I have bad news. Your husband has died. I was there. I saw he died. There is no body. Trust me. So the halacha is, if she believes him, Beis Din allows her to remarry. Normally, b'chol terakula, al pi shnayim edim yakum davar, you need two witnesses. But if a single witness tells a woman that her husband has died, and she testifies in court, and she is willing to, there are a lot of rules that have to be followed, and she believes this man, she is permitted, according to the psak of Beis Din, to remarry. She's no longer called an eshes ish. What happens, now the question is the witness himself allowed to marry her? Is the witness himself allowed to marry her? So it goes without saying, absolutely not. The witness that says that your husband dies, now here's the question. The question is, what about, he's not allowed, I'm really getting confused. Let's make matters more complicated. Let's say, that indeed is the case. I'm getting confused. But the case of the Gemara is, let's say one witness says to the woman, your husband died, and another witness says, I was also there. I was at the same place, same time, and he didn't die. That's right. He went overboard, but he was alive and well. He didn't die. He just disappeared. It must be that he doesn't like you. He wants to make you an aguna. So you have conflicting testimony. One witness says he died. One witness says that he did not die. So is the woman allowed to remarry? So basically the answer is yes. If she believes the witness that says that he died, she is allowed to marry. Not only can she marry anyone, an outsider, she's even allowed to marry the person that said that your husband did not die. It's a very big chiddush, because he's saying testimony that your husband did not die. Therefore, you're still an eshes ish. So we should say that shavya alei chaticha de yisura. But since that's how far this halacha goes, since the Beis Din says no, that you, the woman, have a right, you believe the one that says that he died, so al pi halacha it's considered to be that you're no longer an esh asish. It's a psak Beis Din. Once it's a psak Beis Din, there's no din here of shav yaleh chaticha de yisura. Holocaust, there were many shilas. Yeah, there were hundreds of shilas like this. Hundreds of shilas. 9/11 also, there were shilas like this. There were a few shilas. There were many, many shilas. Many, many shilas. So there were certain gedolim that matter many agunas. There was once a maisa with a woman that.
I'm talking about when the person came back from.
There have been stories. There was a story with Rav Moshe. There was a story with Rav Moshe. A woman, after the Holocaust, she remarried. And she then years later, her husband showed up, and this was already after she had children from the second husband, which means the mamzerim. So she went to Rav Moshe, and she told Rav Moshe that this certain gadol allowed me to get married. And she told the name of the gadol. I don't remember the name. There was a famous gadol who was matir many agunas. So Rav Moshe said to her, I think Rav Moshe Tenlin was there, if I'm not mistaken, the way the story goes, Rav Moshe said to her, tell me the story again. And it was obviously a very painful story, a lot of tzar. And she related the story. And Rav Moshe said, tell me the story again. Something doesn't make sense. And the people that were there were very surprised. Rav Moshe was a very delicate, very sensitive person, especially to an almana. Why was he torturing this woman by requiring her to tell the story over and over again? And each time she relayed the story, she showed visible signs of pain. And everyone was surprised. And he kept on doing this until it got to the point where she basically just said, you're right, it never happened. I had friends who were similar in a similar situation. They went to this gadol, and he was matir. He told them that they can get married based upon their unique circumstances. So I went and I decided on my own, I'm also going to get married. I'm going to lie. I'm going to say that gadol, the same gadol that was matir, all these agunas from my friends were matir me as well. I lied. And basically, Moshe says it can't be that this person would have been nichshol. This tzaddik, this gadol that he knew personally, was such a holy person. It cannot be that through him would come about such a thing where there would be mamzer min klal yisrael. The story did not make sense. I had to hear all the details again and again and again. And in Hanami, in the process of her relating the story multiple times, she felt guilty and she finally confessed that it was never true. She never really got a heter to remarry. Okay, but this is the Gemara. The Gemara is the Gemara. I'll read the words of the Gemara. It's the Gemara Masechet Ksubis on Daf Chof Beis. The Gemara says, "Eid Echad Oimer Meis, Hemnuhu Rabban Kibeit Shrei." The Rabbanan believe this single witness as if it's two witnesses, and she's allowed to remarry. The Ein Devadav Shel Echad B'Mekayim Shnayim, and therefore, if someone else comes along and says that the husband did not die, the second person that comes along and says that he did not die is not believed. Once she has permission to remarry, the Gemara says, "Yachia afil lechatchila nami." If that's the case, then when lechatchila there means that we should allow the man who said to her that your husband died. If that's really the case, that we believe this person, so let her marry the witness as well. The Gemara says this exact pasuk. Another example in Shas where we quote this pasuk: Mishum de'Rabbi Asi, Adam Rabbi Asi, Haser Mimcha Akshus Peh Ulazus Sefosaim Hoser Mimcha. This pasuk, this exact pasuk, it's not exactly the pasuk way it's called because it says the pasuk Harichek Mimcha. Here it says Hoser Mimcha. Maybe it's Tosat Fus, maybe, or maybe the Gemara for purposely did not call it the pasuk verbatim, but it's come out the same pasuk. It's quoting from here, and basically that a person is not, even though technically speaking a woman is allowed to marry in this situation, it is a special harchok and mishle. Don't look for trouble. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk.
The other says that as the bride, you can either, first of all, could be bosom, and you need two edim to be mazik.
The halacha of edachad ben eshes ish is a very, very complicated halacha. It's a question if it's a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, if it's a takana derabanan, is it really hinted to in the Torah itself? It has its own set of rules. So as far as Eide Hazama, Imanu Hayisim, Osaploni, how do the rules of Eidim Zim apply to an Eide Echa that's being matur in Eish Hashish? I don't know.
What would you give him
for Eish? What? The Asisim Loik Hashem
Zama.
No, you kill him. That's the Gemara. The Gemara the Makas. In the situation when you cannot be Mekayim, the Asisim Loik Hashem Zama, you give Malkus. It's a Gzeres HaKosef. And that's a special halacha. But you're asking a good question. Eidus is only normally good Eidus where there's a Shaykhus for Hazama. So you're saying that since over here he's only in Eid Echad, he's not following the regular rules of Eidus, maybe there is no Din Hazama. If there is no Din Hazama, then how can it possibly be Din of Eidus? So maybe there is a Din of Hazama. Maybe if two witnesses come along and say, Yimanu Yisim, Boisaz Man, Boisaz Man, Nechanami, maybe Nechanami, there would be Din Hazama. Or maybe this rule of Eid Echad in Matur and Eish Hazish is so unique and so special, it overrides the regular classic rules of Eidei Hazama. Okay, it's a complicated sugya. When you learn in Ksubis, so it's a very complicated sugya. I don't remember more than that. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chof Hei. Another very famous pasuk. Einecha l'noichach yabitu. Shlomo is speaking. Now, by the way, something I didn't realize. I didn't pay attention. You were more this to Rav Meir, is that Rashi here many times says that David is the speaker. Well, even though Shlomo HaMelech is writing the Sefer, right? Who's writing the Sefer Mishlei? Shlomo HaMelech. But according to Rashi, many of the things that Shlomo is putting in writing are things that his father told him. So, like, simply beneath Shlomo's talk, I'm speaking to my child Rechavam. Rechavam, my child, listen to me. I want to go tell you some things you should know about. No, that's not the way Rashi learns. Rashi learns that Shlomo is quoting his father David, and that's why the Sefer begins Mishle Shlomo ben David. Shlomo, the son of David. He wants to point out that I'm recording here things that were taught to me by my father. So here, his father David says to Shlomo, he records, Einecha, your eyes, Lenochach Yabitu. Simply means shall look forward, look straight ahead. Don't go look to the side. The afa pecha, this is a repetition, this is poetic repetition on a simple level. The afa pecha, pecha means your eyelids or means your eyes. We're going to translate it for the moment to mean your eyes, just for the moment. We'll see in more detail what it means exactly. Yaishiru negdecha, shall look straight in front of you. When they teach you how to drive, they tell you, don't be distracted. Look straight. Don't look what's doing here, what's doing there. If you start looking around too much, you start looking at your telephone, you're going to get into trouble. You always just keep your eyes on the road. Look straight ahead. Once you get distracted, you're asking for trouble. Let's take a look at the Mitzudos. David. Pasuk Chof Hei. Einech l'noichach. Re'ei b'hisboininus yisera. The Mitzudos takes this pasuk as a metaphor. Does not mean to be literal. It means look at the end result. A person should see a zeh chacham haroya es hanoilat. A person that sees what's coming. That's really in essence what the pasuk is saying, according to the opinion of the Mitzudos David. Take with his spinus, with a lot of contemplation, understanding. Look at the tachlis hamasa. Look at the end result of your deeds. If you do this, what is going to be the ramifications, the consequences? Asher ta'aseh v'oz, and then, according to the Mitzudos, he's adding a very powerful word into this pasuk in order to avoid the repetition. The oz, then, afapecha yolichucha b'derech hayashar. Then, add that word in, then your eyes will guide you on a straight path. If einecha here is like a metaphor, if your eyes, the eyes of your mind, contemplate. Lenochach yabitu. I guess habata is a term which is more symbolic. You think deeply into the consequence of what's going to happen. Then you will have the siyata shmaya that you will indeed, your eyes will take you along the straight path. Rashi einecha lenochach yabitu yistaklu el ho'emes v'el hayosher. Shall be mistakel, which means an intense gaze of emes and yosher. Yaishu negdecha yistaklu al hayishara liyasher darkecha negdecha. Rashi seems to say there is some poetic repetition. He's not adding the word oz as the Mitzudos David did. Okay, so this is the simul pshat in the pasuk. In the Mitzudos Tzion, he says one important point. Afapecha means ishon ha'ayne means the. It means the pupil of the eye. Ishan, why is the pupil of the eye called an ishan? Because ishan comes from the word ish. When you look at someone, what do you see in their eye, in their eyeball? You see a little person, a little ish. You see yourself. An eye is a mirror. It's the ultimate mirror. You see yourself, ishan, when you add a nun to a word, a nun sometimes is in mekatin, it makes something very small. So ishon is the pupil of the eye. It's called the pupil of the eye. It's called an ishon, ish, with a nun at the end, a small person looking at yourself. You can see yourself. It's a mirror. You see yourself in someone else's eye. Okay, they say a musavar that the more person guards his eyes, the more careful you are not look at things that you should not be looking at, the more Kadosh Baruch Hu will guard the ish, will guard you. If you guard your eyes, Kadosh Baruch Hu will reciprocate and will guard the ish, the person that the whole person is captured in a person's eyes. Now they have new technology. I read about this. I don't know if it's true with digital cameras, but in the olden days when they took pictures with film. So, let's say you take a picture of a person. Do you see the photographer and everything that's taking place behind the scenes? Someone's taking a picture. You're going forward. You have no idea what the photographer looks like. You have no idea the audience, the crowd on the other side. But today they have technology where they can take pictures and they can zoom into the eyes of the subjects of the picture. And they can see the reflection, and they can see amazing things. No one ever imagined when they were taking pictures that someone would come along one day and be able to analyze the eyes, because that's how powerful the eye is, how much reflection there is in the eye. Now I read about this that in the digital cameras, the resolution is not as great. This is true for the film. On the digital, the high tech, I don't know, maybe now what? What?
In all the movies, they show this concept of reflection.
Yeah, of reflection? What? Science fiction?
No, in movies, they show.
Okay, I don't know, but maybe
police,
it's some.
Right. You know, investigate these.
They look at the eyes. They see back. Okay, it could be. So this is something which is very interesting. They actually read the article that I read about was about Kennedy. They have some pictures of Kennedy, and they're able to look into his eyes, and they see in on the other side they see amazing things. All these politicians and celebrities, and it's fascinating. Okay, but this is the ishon, and it all comes from this word. Ishon, you can see a little person in a person's eyes. That's the reflection of yourself that you see in someone else's eyes. Okay, now there are a number of very interesting ideas here. First of all, there's a Navar thing from Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer. Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer says that the word lenochach simply means opposite. It means looks like Rashi and the Mitzvah, looks straight ahead. He interprets the word lenochach to mean, and together with the word negdecha means look at yourself. Nochach means opposite you. Einecha lenochach yabitu. It's the tendency of a person to look for chesroinos in other people. But yourself, everything is fine and good. David here, through Shlomo, is telling us, look at yourself. Don't look don't go and look out to the world to find problems. You want to look for trouble? Try to find your own minor imperfections. Einecha, your eyes, lenochach, opposite yourself, meaning, he interprets it, lenochach means toward, lenochach, towards you, lenochach, towards yourself, yabitu. Look deeply inside of yourself. V'yafapecha, and your eyes, yayishiru negdecha, let them look straight into yourself to find your failings, your imperfections, instead of looking to find the chesronus of other people. Okay, that's one idea. Another idea is the word afapecha doesn't necessarily mean an eye, it means your eyelids. And the eyelids come from the word af. Af means to fly, to float. The eye, the eyelids, they're floating. They flutter like a wing, a bird, a word flutters its wings. It flutters. So your eyes shall look straight, and afapecha, your eyelids.
When you go to sleep at night, you shall afapecha.
Yaishiru negdecha, your eyelids shall also go. Okay, I'm not exactly sure the deeper meaning. It shall look. Yeah.
So when the person goes to sleep, it mentions on afapecha.
When you what?
When you afapecha.
From my eyelids, from my eyes. Correct. That is correct. Okay. Now there's another. Okay. There is another idea here. Another idea I saw was afapecha means when your eyes are closed. There are two words. There's einecha. Einecha means when your eyes are open, and there is afapecha when your eyes are closed. And the reason why we use word afapecha when your eyes closed is because when your eyes are closed, your eyelids are down. So we take the word af. Afapecha, which are eyelids, and in this context, it means when your eyes. So it's telling you that a person shall look straight when his eyes are open, and also when his eyes are closed, meaning that in the next world, when it's chabracha, if a person, like it's similar to what the Mitzudos says, you have to hear the word os. If a person, einecha, lenochach yabitu, if a person in this world will look straight, will keep his eye on the ball, will look straight to do what's yosher, the eye in this world, then as a reward, the afapecha, in the next world, when a person's physical eyes are closed, when the physical eyes are closed in this world, that automatically means that his spiritual eyes will be opened in the next world. Yaishiru negdecha, they will be straight. You'll be able to see things in the next world that you cannot otherwise, that you cannot fathom in this world. So what we're doing, that this is what the Malbim does. I believe this is the Pshat in the Malbim. The Malbim is basically is taking the idea of the Mitzudos. He's adding the word "us." It's giving you advice. It's going to give you the reward, and he interprets the word afapecha in a very unique, novel way, saying that it means when the eyes are closed. Eyes being closed really represents the eyes being open spiritually. Physical eyes. The last thing that happens in this world is Yosef Yoshis Yodoy Aleinecha. Hashem gave a bracha to Yaakov that Yosef will put his hands at the time of death. Yosef will close the eyes of the Nifter. That closing of the eyes is what opens up the spiritual eyes in the next world, and it will be Yosher. He'll have a Yashus in the next world and reward if a person will be Yabit, what's proper in this world. Okay, now there's another Chazal, another very popular Chazal that focuses on Torah. The word Afapecha refers, I'll read you it, it is a Gemara Masechta Megillah. Omar Le Rami Daf Yudches, Amid Beis, Omar Le Rami Chamal Rabbi Yirmi Yami Divsi. Rav Marchama said, "V'yom Midivsi, Ma, what does it mean in this pasuk? V'yafapecha, your eyes, Yai Shiru Negdecha, Amalo, Elu Divrei Torah." The word afapecha is a code for the words of Torah. Siyat D'Shmai in learning. How do you know that? The Chassid says in the pasuk, "Hatoif Einecha Bo V'Einenu." If you blink, the word "Hatoif" means to blink. This is the pasuk. pasuk, I think later on in Mishlei, if a person blinks his eye from Torah for one moment, you have to always be diligent to review, to remember what you have learned. If you slacken off, you forget to review your learning, you blink your eyes from Torah, ve'einenu. Torah disappears. You forget Torah very quickly. Torah is extremely delicate. So what do we take out of this pasuk? The word ta'if means blinking the eyes, neglecting the review of Torah. We now take that word and we plug it into this pasuk as a code. V'yafapecha, your learning will be yashar. You will have success. Lasuke shmeitza, aliba, tehilchasa. Halacha means to go, hoylech. You can be hoylech yashar, and you can be hoylech akal kalsen, crooked. When you go ask a shayla, you can get a krum psak. The rabbi can tell you something which is total nonsense. Or you can get a gleich pshat. You tell you have a shayla, you get an emistik pshat. So after a while, you know, after the rough gives too many, if he gives you too many crooked piskei halacha, they're not going to ask him anymore. But if you want to have siyata shmaya, that your halacha, your Torah will be yoshar, the halacha. Halacha, which means it means decision, but it also means to go. Your halacha will be yashar. You have to review the learning. What is the schus you need? Einecha lenoichach yabitu. If your eyes, if a person will guard his eyes, in this context it means that he will follow the ways of the Torah, then you will merit that your Torah, if you'll be an erlich person, afapecha yayishir negdecha, your success in learning Torah will be Yashar, will be successful. Okay, a third interpretation about this podcast. So the word Einecha refers to the Einei Ha'am. Einecha refers to the leaders of the people. Einecha l'neichach yabitu. If your leaders will look opposite you. In other words, you will establish, you will appoint in your community the Einei Ha'eda, the eyes of the assembly, Rabbanim, community leaders who are called the eyes, they will yabitu, they will look at you, they'll not turn away from you. You will allow them to operate in the way that they should. Then v'yafapecha yayishu negdecha, your eyes will also be straight. In other words, if you have strong leadership that is allowed to look you in the face and say to you, you're doing something wrong, then you will merit to have a life of yashras. But if you're going to appoint leaders that cannot look you in the face because you bribe them, they're corrupt, the leaders themselves are corrupt, if they say to you, take out the thorn between your eyes, you'll say back to them, well, you take out the beam in your head. If the leaders are corrupt, where they cannot, you cannot fulfill the nochach yabitu, they cannot fulfill that they can look straight at you and give you mussar, then you're in a lot of trouble. No one's going to correct your crookedness. You will be live a life of crookedness. Only if it's a nochach yabitu will you be able to fulfill the afapecha. Your eyes, yayashur negdech, will be able to look straight ahead. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk.
Give somebody a straight answer.
Give someone a straight answer. They'll look you right in the eye. They look you, okay. Okay, there is one other quick thing that the Medrash over here quotes, referring to Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbeinu HaKadosh says the reason why he was zochah to what he was because he saw Rabbi Meir from the back. And if I merited to see Rabbi Meir from the front, then I would have been a lot greater. Let me read you those words, very popular. A Chazal. Let me just find it. Rav Meir said, Rabbeinu HaKadosh says this, that I was zochah to what I am. I can't find it. It must be that I saw this in the art scroll, which I don't have in front of me. And I think the Gemara there connects this pasuk. Einecha l'noichach yabitu. Look straight ahead. Rabbeinu HaKadosh says, unfortunately, I was not able to look straight ahead. I was only able to look from the back, from behind. not Yosha, not Lenochach. Lenochach means in the front. I saw a mare from the back, not from the front. If I would have seen a mare from the front, it would have been an entirely different story. I would have been much, much greater than I was. Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hareini no es kvoidecha. Hashem said, V'reisa es achorai, uponai lo yeru. Moshe was not able to fulfill the pasuk, Einecha lenochach yabitu. Lenochach means what's in front of you. You're only able to see what was behind you. Because Moshe, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not possible. Even Rabbi Meir, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, it was also not possible to see a Meir from the front. Now, what does it mean from the front, from the back? So simply means that he sat in the back. You ever go to a shir, when there's a lot of people in the shir? So he sit in the back, he sit in the front? Mr. Klein, you go to Rabbi Shur shir, where do you see Rabbi Shur shir? When you go to Rabbi Shur shir, where do you sit? What do you see, Rabbi Shur?
In the back.
You sit in the back, so what are you looking at? You're looking at his back. Where do I sit? I look at the front. He sits in the middle, so half the people are looking at his back, half the people are looking at his front. Okay, but besides physically looking at the back and the front, the Mefarshim explain it means the generation. Rabbeinu HaKadosh lived at the end of the life of Rabbi Meir, when Rabbi Meir was on the decline. When a person is already 120 years old, I don't know exactly where Rabbi Meir was, it's different. They're not in their prime. You don't see them in their full glory. So you don't absorb from them the full dosage of Yiras Shamayim and Torah that they had to offer. If I was able to see Rabbi Meir from the front, meaning when he was a young man, when he was on his way up, then how much more would I have been able to absorb from his greatness? Okay, now we come to another very popular pasuk, pasuk Chavav, Paleis Magal Raglecha V'chol Derachecha Yikon. A person should weigh. The word Paleis is the bar of a scale. Paleis is the bar, you have a scale. You know, it's now the Yimei Hadin. Everyone see all the pictures, all the images, the graphics depicting Yimei Hadin on the Arnak Poruch, on our Kodesh. They're always showing the ancient scales. Not so ancient, but the scales. There's a bar. The bar upon which the two kalim, the two, what are they called in English? The two what?
Weights.
The two, not the weights. They have the pants. In the pan, you put a weight, and you countermeasure on what's on the other side. But in those pans are supported by a bar, and that bar is on a what's called fulcrum that which the beam. Okay, so that beam, that's called the pales. That's what determines the mechanism of weighing. So here it says pales magal. The person should weigh the steps. Magal in this context means the steps of his feet. The chol derachecha yikonu. And now we're going to add a word into the pasuk according to the mitzudos. The oz. If a person will weigh his steps, then all of his ways will be established. All of his ways will be firmly established. Will be successful. Let's look at the mitzvah pasuk chavav. Pales re'eh liasher, see to it. This is a command. Liasher, to make straight. Magal raglecha, the steps of your feet. V'lotelech kefi hakri v'ha'ezdamin. Don't act on impulse. Just because you get a phone call, come over here, do this, do that, or you have an urge to do something, never act upon impulse. Always calculate your steps in life. V'oz. Okay, again, the Mitzudos very, very clearly, very precisely, he adds this word into the pasuk, which totally opens up the pasuk. If we would not have the Mitzudos adding the word oz, it would be very difficult to understand what the pasuk is doing. The oz, I'm giving you a bracha. It's not the Pshut Shel Mikra. He's adding a lot of perish. Then, if you will follow my instructions of weigh your steps, oz, yihyu kol derechecha nichoinim, all of your ways will be upright. Rashi, palei sragel, Raglecha, Shekol Dirachecha. He says, you shall weigh. Now, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says Shekol to weigh. The Mitzudos did not say the word Shekol. He said the word Liasher. So, I don't know if the Mitzudos and Rashi are in disagreement, because the word Pales, according to many, means that beam on the scale, or he just means the same idea, but the Rashi here seems to be more, it's a lot more flavor. It's a lot more flavor into the pasuk. To weigh, shkol derachecha, weigh your ways. Hefsid mitzvah keneged schara. He gives you an example. What are the benefits and the disadvantages of doing a mitzvah versus not doing a mitzvah? The loss of the mitzvah keneged schara. If I'm not going to do this mitzvah, what am I going to gain? If I'm not going to daven mincha with a minyan during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, what am I going to gain by not davening mincha? I'm going to make more money? Really? Am I really certain about that? Keneged schara. Utschar avera. If I'm going to do an avera, keneged hefseda, what am I going to lose by doing this avera? V'oz, the person will always make these calculations, then kol derechecha yikoinu, all of your ways will be firmly established. Now, the problem with this pasuk is, we're going to jump ahead for one moment, this pasuk avav, is a contradiction to what it says in the next parak, only a few psukim ahead, it says, Pasuk Vav, Perikei Pasuk Vav, Ora Chaim Pen Tifales. The way of life you should not weigh. Nohu Mag Lo Secha Lo Seda. You should not weigh. Nohu Dalcha Ki Nohu Hamagolo Shala. The steps are Mina Ora Chaim V'Rachakum Mimenu. It is removed. This you will not know its way. The steps of life are removed from your understanding. Nohu means it's been removed, been distanced. The steps of the Torah, lo seida, you will never come to understand the ways of Torah, the way of life, and therefore, pen tifales, do not weigh orachai. So virtually all the commentators ask that there's a contradiction between the pasuk that we have just learned and this pasuk. Here it says, "Pales magel derechecha." You should weigh the steps of your life, and then your ways will be established. And later it says, "Orachaim pentifales." The way of life you should not weigh. So how do we answer this contradiction? So the simple answer is, it depends if you have, you're presented with the way the I'll just read it so it'll be better. It depends on. Ashkechinu de Karami Kuadadi. Okay, this is a Gemara Masechta Moed Katan, Daf Tes, not that long ago. Daf Tes. Ashkechinu de Karami Kuadadi. They was found to ask pose a contradiction. Ksiv, one pasuk says, Palis Magal Raglecha. The whole Durechecha Yikoinu. Ksiv, another pasuk says, Orechaim Pentefalis. Loi Kosha, the Gemara answers, no contradiction. Kan de Mitzvah. She'efshar lasos al yidei acherim, kam b'mitzvah she'efshar lasos al yidei acherim. When you have a mitzvah that can be done through someone else. If I will not do this mitzvah, someone else will do the mitzvah. Then weigh your pales derechecha. I have an opportunity either to learn Torah. I can go and spend the whole day in the Beis Medrash. Or I can go out on a chesed project. I can deliver packages to poor people. Very great mitzvah. If I don't go and learn and do the mitzvah, do the mitzvah of deliver the packages, someone else will do it.
Maybe.
Well, let's assume you know for a fact, you're right, not maybe, let's assume you know, in this particular example, you know for a fact that someone will do it. So here is a situation where you should weigh your steps. Since it's efshar al yidei acherim, it's better for you to involve yourself in the greatest thing of all, the study of Torah. So you have a choice of learning. This is one example. You can learn Torah or do a mitzvah. If you don't do the mitzvah, someone else will do the mitzvah. Now, Chazal tell, make a calculation. You shall weigh your steps. It's more important for you to learn Torah than to do the mitzvah because someone else will do the mitzvah. But if the situation is where it's only maybe someone will do the mitzvah or no one will do the mitzvah, then don't make any calculations. Don't start saying, listen, Torah is more chashuv than gemilas chasad. It is. But in this instance, if the gemilas chasadim, if I stop making calculations and doing the Torah, the gemilas chesed will never be done. In this instance, Chazal say, don't make any calculations. What's more chashuv? What's not more chashuv? There's a mitzvah that needs to be done. It's efshar al yidei acherim. It's not for you to make calculations. Yemavatal Torah, don't make out that it has to be done. That's how the Gemara answers this contradiction. Okay, that's the basic answer. Now, there are other answers. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk of Zayin. Al teit yaminu smol, don't turn to the right or to the left. Haseh ragel chamira, and remove your foot from doing meira, from doing evil. Let's see the mitzvah pasuk of Zayin. Pasuk of Zayin al teit b'chol davar al tita atzmocha yaminu smol miderech hamitzvos el al avol meira haseh raglecha mikol v'chol. So according to the Mitzudos, he's doing us a favor, and he's telling us.
Of the previous, Einecha Noach Yabitu is the same thing.
Einecha, there is a lot of repetition. I don't know how to answer all the repetition. There's much repetition in Mishlei. I don't know. There, the focus was on Einecha, on your eyes. Einecha, here it's a focus on your feet. Al teit yaminu smol. Don't turn to the right or the left when you do a mitzvah. Don't make any calculations as to the mitzvah. The mitzudos does us a favor, and he adds the word.
Right and left. It doesn't say right or left.
No, so sometimes the vav means or. It depends on the context. It depends. The Gemara even talks about it. The Gemara speaks about this question. When there's a vav, sometimes it means and sometimes it means or. In this context, according to the Mitzvot, it means right or left. The Mitzvot adds a very important word into the parish of the Pasuk, the word avol. But when it comes to evil, not only should you not go to the right and the left, you shouldn't be on the road altogether. Don't be on the road altogether. Completely stay away from any form of evil. Rashi, al teit yaminu smol min hamishkol hatoiv, don't go to the right or left from the mishkol hatoiv, from the weighing of good. So according to the Rashi is connecting pasuk of Zayin back to pasuk of Vav. Pales magel raglcha, you shall weigh the steps of your feet, and when you weigh the steps of your feet, make sure you don't deviate, don't go turn any and deviate one iota. We have the pasuk not so long ago in a few parashios back of mikol asher yom lecha. Al tosir yaminu smol. Don't turn to the right or the left. From the words of the Chachamim, you should not turn on the Rashi. They comment, afilu. What do you want to say in the Rashi? Don't turn al yamin smol. That if they tell you, if the Chacham tell you, yamin shu smol, the smol shu yamin, you should listen to them. Even if they tell you what's right is left, what's left is right, you should listen to them. And Rashi goes on to say, kol shekain, how much more so, when they tell you what's right is right, and what's left is left, you shall listen to this. I remember I told you on Friday, I told you a drush fart. What does it mean, kol shekain, when they tell you what's right is right, and what's left is left? So it means as follows. When you there are two types of tzaddikim. There's a tzaddik that is in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ubol ha-shoifet asher yeh bayom mohen. There's a tzaddik that stands in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present, and you're looking at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you look at a person, your right is his left, and your left is his right. Right, Pasha? Let's say you are standing on top of the person. You're not standing in front of the person. You're standing above the person. Then your right is his right, and your left is his left. There are two types of tzaddikim. There's a tzaddik that's on a lower madrega, and that tzaddik stands in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is present, and he stands. Acha shvalti ve'meisim osavake shivti ve'meisim koli mechayai lachazois benoyim, to see, to behold the pleasantness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which means shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. I put Hashem in front of me tamid. So the tzaddik's right is Hashem's left. The tzaddik's left is Hashem's right. So when you go to a tzaddik and you ask the tzaddik, should I do something? Yes or no? So he'll tell you what to do. Even if the tzaddik is on a madrega, where he stands, begeder, shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. He stands in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then there are tzaddikim that are even greater. They're so great, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests his shechina upon their shoulders. So Hashem's Shechina, you hear about this, the Shechina is resting upon this tzaddik. When the Shechina is resting upon a tzaddik, then the tzaddik's right is Hashem's right. Hashem is resting upon him. So the tzaddik's right is Hashem's right. The tzaddik's left is Hashem's left. It's a much higher madrega. So you would say, well, if I want to go to a tzaddik, I want to ask him a question, I'm only going to listen to him if he's on the madrega where the Shechina is resting upon his shoulders, like the Shechina would rest upon the shoulders of Moshe Rabbeinu. So his right is Hashem's right, and his left is Hashem's left. But a tzaddik that's not on that madrega, he's on the lower madrega, who only is in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is in the gather of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi. I put Hashem before me. That tzaddik's right is Hashem's left, and that tzaddik's left is Hashem's right. He's on the lower madrega. To such a tzaddik, I'm not going to listen. So the drush is, Kol asher yarmulcha tase lesosu mimenu yaminu small. Don't turn away from the tzaddik, even if the tzaddik is only on the drush. Even if the tzaddik, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael, I'm appointing Yoshua, I'm appointing a new leader, follow your leaders, even if your leader is only on a madrega. Even if he's only on the madrego where his right is Hashem's left and his left is Hashem's right. And Rashi adds, Kol Shekain, you should listen to your leader if his left is his Hashem's left and his right is Hashem's right, which means that he's a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu where the Shekhin is actually resting directly upon him. Okay, let's go to the next paragraph, just briefly go into one psukim, b'ni. Now again, David, Shlomo is speaking, he's mentioning words in the name of his father David. Okay, it's a repetition. I don't know the deeper meaning. I'm sure there is a lot deeper meaning over here, but the Mefarshim do not say very much. Look at the Metudos David. B'nid l'chachmasi hakshiva. Oid ze midivrei David. Shlomo HaMelech is recording what his father told him. Sha'amar l'shlomo. B'nid shmal l'chachma asher l'imadeticha. Listen to the chachma which I have taught you. Rashi does not say anything. Pasuk Beis. Lishmar mizimois, that you shall guard from mizimos means lishma mizimos, you shall guard thoughts. A mizima is a thought. Vidasif asecha yinsaru, and the knowledge of your lips you shall guard. Let's see the mitzudos. Lishmar hizoher lishmar hamachshavos, you shall person shall work on guarding his thoughts. Usif asecha yinitzaru, you shall guard your lips, lidaber das, to speak knowledge. So here the pasuk over here is just giving a warning, the person has an obligation to guard his thought. That's very, very difficult. Requires an enormous amount of discipline and training for a person to be able to control his thoughts. Mizima is the memis part of the shoresh, according to the mitzudos, a thought. A person should guard his thoughts, and a person should always be on guard that his lips shall speak knowledge. Yinsaru, he shall guard. You have to read the last three words backwards according to the Mitzudos. Yinsaru, you shall guard. Sifasecha, your lips. You read then the third word backwards. Das, to only speak words of knowledge. Don't speak words of foolishness. Pasik Gimel. Now, Pasuk Gimel enters into an entirely new theme. It talks much about a zona. A person has to stay away from arayos. Maybe that's why it begins with this concept of thoughts, machshava, because all relationships with nashim asuros begins with machshava, begins with bad thoughts. Yeah. From Znus. Okay, we had that same exact question way a couple of been back of two prakim ago with the machlokes between the Mitzudos and the Rashi. Is the word mizimos mean there was a code for also mean there meant also Torah thoughts plans of Torah or if the mem is not part of the sharish, it means mizima from arayis in chanami. Okay, pasuk he noifes titoifna sifsezara, it drips. Noifes means sweetness. Sweetness, does it, the taifna, does it drip? Sif se zara, the lips of a stranger. What? Nufis, the dripping of honey. Right, so here it means, titaifna means sweetness. It drips with sweetness the lips of a zara. Zara here refers to an isha zona. The chalak, it's smoother, mishemen of the oil, chika, her palate. Her palate here means the words which come forth from her mouth, her slippery talk, which caused the person to be nichshol in arayas. Yeah, let's just see the mitzvot for a little bit. Let's see the mitzvot. Ki noifes ratzol aymar, me'oid tzarech liyois nizar lebal yifute, not to be enticed. To be enticed by the zona, ki imri hazona, according to the mitzvot, makes it very, very clear. We're discussing here a zona. Not all of the commentators agree with the pshayish of the mitzvot, that we're dealing with the zona. Okay, we'll come to the second. Ki imri hazona hema arevim umesukim, they are sweet and pleasant. Ki noifes tsufim, like honey. Sufa means honey that drips. Vehema chalakim, it's smoother. This is just a metaphor. Yosem is shemen, more than oil. Vehu gamashal, this is nothing more than a mashal. So stay away, be very careful to guard your thoughts and to guard your speech. Because if you're going to have a relationship with this woman, you're going to end up in a lot of trouble. Rashi, ki noifetz titoifna, loshen masuk, sweetness. Sifsei zara, here Rashi comes in for the kill. He comes to disagree with the mitzudos. And he says, the zara here refers to apikorsis. We're not discussing here arayos, we're discussing apikorsis. The cholok mishem and chika, loshon chad, chach, achich, loshon chich, the palate. The chika, the palate, the speech of apikorsis is smoother than oil. So we really have a very hard time relating to this in our generation. But that apikorsis, to engage in debate, and engage in a machshavos and the dialogue of apikorsis, is something that is very enjoyable. What?
Rabbi Sacks versus, I think, Richard Dawkins.
Recently, there's a new thing.
Yeah,
okay, so this tie.
Presence of God.
Okay, so this type of talk, well, especially when you're on the wrong side. Okay, we're talking about being on the wrong side. The apikorsis is something which is very endearing to the neshama. Yeah.
It's not only that. First of all, it follows on the previous pasuk, which
talks about lishmamizimos.
Gnei lechachmasya. Gnei lechachmasya. It's talking about Torah wisdom. Now, in contrast, it's talking about some foreign ideology.
Okay, so that's the question. How you translate the word mezimos? Mezimos is a very hard word to translate. The first thing you have to ask yourself is the mem part of the shoresh or not? If the mem is not part of the shoresh, so then me means from. Now, the reason why it's more likely that it's not is because there's a shva. If it was part, it should be a chirik, mizimos. If there would be a chirik, mizimos, then you would say that the mem is a prefix. And zima normally means arayos. But it also can be in reference to apikorsis. Zima, anything which is foreign. However, it does not say that. It says with the shva, mizimos. And that's seemingly why the mitzvah says the word is part of the sharish. And the word mizimos means a machshava, a thought. And here it is lishmar, guard mizimos, guard your thoughts. Make sure you do not allow to enter into your mind thoughts of apikorsis. Your thoughts should only be pure. And then you read the backwards, yinsoru sifosecha das, you shall guard your lips that it should only speak knowledge. Now why? Because it fits very well according to Rashi, the next passage. Because if you're going to engage in discussion of itself, apikoursis, dialogue or discussion of apikoursis, it's very enticing, and it's a slippery slope, which can lead a person into the, off the derech, yinoifes titoifna, its sweetness drips from words of apikoursis, sifse zara, lips that speak falsehood, v'cholak m'shem and chika, the palate of those people that speak apikoursis is smoother than oil.
That's what you're saying. It's a slippery slope.
Slippery. Once you slip one full one step, you're going to slip down multiple steps. Okay, let me just see if there's any minutes over here I wanted to share with you. No, not here. Okay, that's it for now. Okay, so we'll stop here. We'll pick it up tomorrow. Believe me, then.